Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, early Trump successes are in fact bringing a great joy to some people across the nation, at the same time an immense amount of distress to others. We're going to look at some of the joys and at least one outgoing key political figure who is trying to his best to tie the hands of incoming President-elect Donald Trump. And we're going to cover that in this first segment today. In addition, the Islamic machete-wielding jihadist insurgent at Ohio State University earlier this week has his defenders in, you guessed it, a number of places, but they are effectively all Muslim Brotherhood-directed. Islamic spokespeople, on one hand, claiming victimhood and blaming the Islamic terrorist actions in the United States on, you guessed it, you and me. But they're also getting help from other people who are in elected office as well. We're going to expose this deceptive strategy of blame shifting, and we're going to play some clips here today and want you to kind of walk with us and listen and see if you can hear and you can tell how the deception is taking place in a couple of these short clips. So we're going to talk about that, and then we're going to conclude talking about the history of blame shifting and the fatal consequences that always arises when we embrace deception, we blame shift, and effectively at the same time lie. So I'm going, with that, I'm going to welcome you to the program. This is Sam Rohr, and Gary Dahl is going to join me today. David Kistler is gone for the day, but he will rejoin the program tomorrow. Well, Gary, let's start right off with a short clip, if we could, from about the successes that Donald Trump is having. Because if you go to a summary page of headline news, you're going to find a whole bunch of them today. We're going to look at just one of them. We're going to play a clip here from Salem Radio News that they played this morning, that I heard at 6 this morning, but it's going to play it, that mentions one piece of very positive news, and I'm going to ask your comment about it.
His incoming administration, it would appear that Donald Trump is surrounding himself with Christians.
A lot of evangelicals have their doubts about the president-elect's faith during the campaign, and some still do. But he's certainly been elevating a significant number of people of faith since the election. Amongst the nominees who are self-professed Christians, Reince Priebus, Tom Price, Jeff Sessions, Betsy DeVos, Mike Pompeo, and Nikki Haley. 81% of self-described evangelicals voted for Trump on November 8th.
All right. Well, Gary, that's just one short clip right there. But I want to ask you something there, because what he mentioned were several different individuals. Mike Pompeo, the governor of South Carolina, Betsy DeVos, who is in the Secretary of Education slot right now, Jeff Sessions, a number of these folks, of course, not even mentioning the presence of Mike Pence. And there are other individuals who are self-described and describe themselves as people of faith. Some of them, Gary, would believe truly are true believers. But I'd like to ask you your response, and what the listeners of Stand in the Gap Today should think about this, and what we're finding out and realizing as this snapshot picture of just one part of Trump administration at this point in the transition.
Sam, I just had to chuckle there a little bit whenever you were giving the names of those individuals who were with him. You know, it looks like he's putting around him a group of billionaires and a group of Christians. Now, you put those two together, you've got some kind of an outcome, don't you? But really what I chuckled over is when you mentioned Jeff Sessions' name. And the reason I chuckled over that is because I don't know that it's still the case, but there was a time when Jeff, as a born-again believer, was a Sunday school teacher. Mm-hmm. And you and I recall when we met with Donald Trump up in New York back in this last summer, Trump said, well, one of the things we need to do is to get our kids back into Sunday school. So maybe Jeff Sessions will become the Secretary of Sunday School Development in the administration. I don't know.
Good point, Gary.
But, you know, I'm really encouraged to see that he's got these individuals around him. However, I think that it puts a great responsibility on those of us who are Christians to do several things. Number one, I think we need to thank God that Donald Trump is putting around him people that have made professions in faith in Christ and are Christians. I just read this morning where Sarah Palin is being considered the Secretary of Veteran Affairs. Now, Sarah Palin is Sarah Palin, but she's a born-again person, as we know and as we understand. So we need to thank the Lord, I think, for the people that Donald Trump is bringing around him. However, as we fasted and prayed for this last election, we need to fast and pray. We need to continue to fast and pray that God will give wisdom and strength to this new administration to lay forth biblical principles in this nation that will strengthen our country. And beyond that, we need to make sure that we as born-again believers get involved in the governmental process in every possible way that we can, whether it's from voting or standing up and speaking out or whatever. But I want to go back to the pulpit, because the pulpit is the key in all of this.
Yes.
I believe that the preaching of the Word of God from pastors up until this last election was very, very much responsible for the outcoming of the election. It's not time now for pastors to sit back, but it's time now for pastors to continue to preach truth from their pulpits without compromise. We must go forth.
Absolutely, Gary. And ladies and gentlemen, as you're listening to that, that's what I encourage you to do. Be glad for what's happening. Take a snapshot, but pray harder than you prayed before the election for these who are being appointed, particularly those who know the Lord, and others who are yet under consideration. And be engaged yourself. Be engaged in your church. Encourage your pastors to preach more boldly than they've ever preached. This is very, very critical. Gary, we're talking about blessed people who are being pleased by what's happening. Donald Trump is actually in Indiana today, a major victory, and that is with the convincing the carrier company not to move their 1,000 jobs, basically put out on the street 1,000 employees in Indiana, but to actually keep that plant there and not move it to Mexico. That was a promise that Donald Trump made. He negotiated that. And Gary, I was hearing last night naysayers, opponents, strong opponents in the process who said, well, you know what? I got to give it to him. He did what he said. And when asked, Gary, one of them asked this one fella, do you think that there was even any possibility that a Hillary Clinton or a Barack Obama would have been? And the response was, no, they didn't care one bit about it. And frankly, they don't think they could have done it. It's interesting, Gary, to hear the naysayers say this is something significant, and it's causing those who said, oh, it'll never happen, already to be off mark and saying, wow, who is going to be able to stand up or going to want to stand up and say, you can't keep jobs in America? Because, Gary, this is the second time, the plant in Tennessee, that with the GM plant that was going to move down to Mexico some weeks ago, was influenced by their election, and they're also staying there, Gary. So there are already two successes, Gary.
Yeah, let me just say this. Donald Trump has done more in 3 weeks than Barack Obama has done in a year with keeping businesses in the United States of America. I think the best is yet to come.
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, stay with us in the second segment after the break. We're going to come back. We're going to begin looking at examples of Muslim Brotherhood propaganda and deception and how they do it. We're going to want you to listen to a clip and listen with us and see if you can see how the blame shifting is occurring. Good practice.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K-12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teacher's editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genius Wealth Management, member FINRA and SIPC.
Today, people are living longer than their forebears. Right now, more than 1 million Americans are alive past age 100. That means you need to work toward having financial resources that can give you independence into your golden years. But weighing different investment options may make you feel overwhelmed. You need someone, a trusted friend, who can come alongside and help you keep the complex simple. That's where the Life Financial Group comes in. For nearly 40 years, the Life Financial Group has helped thousands of families, not only here in Pennsylvania, but nationwide, become even better financial stewards of God's blessings. Managing your investments may feel challenging, but by using a complete financial stewardship approach, you too can gain confidence and peace of mind that your wealth is protected and that you maintain your financial independence. With morally clean investment options, we can help you reach your goals while honoring your convictions. Call us at the Life Financial Group today at 610-385-4500 or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Up next, Dr. Carol Swain with 2 minutes to think about it. From high school dropout and teenage mother to esteemed Vanderbilt University political science and law professor, Carol examines the religious significance of today's most pressing issues and courageously exposes the cultural forces that threaten our cherished values and principles.
Hello, folks. By now, you've heard of the death of Cuban leader Fidel Castro, a revolutionary communist leader who led Cuba from 1959 through 2005 with an iron fist. Castro's rise to power came after he and revolutionaries like Che Guevara overturned the ruling Batista regime and instituted a one-party regime based on the failed Marxist-Leninist theory of world change. Of course it failed, as Marxism always has and always will. Castro's rise to power included mass murder, torture, and suppression of human rights. Nevertheless, across the world, godless intellectuals who should know better are hurling him as a great leader, even though he has murdered tens of thousands of his own people and have left Cubans earning an average of $20 a month. Understaffed hospital facilities offer patients beds without sheets. Misguided world leaders who have hurled Castro a great leader include Canadian Prime Minister Trudeau, former President Jimmy Carter, and thousands of uninformed and ignorant college students who think Castro and Che Guevara were great men to be emulated. Poor fools. Isaiah 5:20 comes to mind. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. The only good thing I see is the irony of God removing a communist leader on Black Friday, a day symbolizing the freedom of capitalism.
Learn more about Dr. Carol Swain at BeThePeopleTV.com, CarolMSwain.net, and on Facebook at Professor Carol M. Swain, Ph.D.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, one of the missions of Stand in the Gap Today is to apply biblical truth to the issues of the day. We say that with a biblical worldview, biblically correct and constitutionally consistent. We try to do that on this program, and it makes it very, very unique. We do that intentionally because we believe that without applying a biblical worldview, you can't really understand what's going on. Now, in this next segment and the rest of the program today, we're going to try and demonstrate and expose how certain types of deception are occurring, aided by this, corrupted media and compromised elected officials. There's perhaps no more important, at least at the moment, or current news event than this terrorist attack that occurred on the campus of Ohio State University earlier this week, and how the Muslim Brotherhood and their sympathizers in the press and in government are cooperating to distort the truth, giving cover to the advancement of these Islamic insurgents in our community, in society, in our nation. Now, on that matter of the Ohio State University student, these are the facts that are not disputed. One, he was an 18-year-old Somali-born young man. He drove his car into a crowd of young people. He jumped out and began wielding a machete, injuring at least 11 people before being shot by a police officer. Now, Those appear to be facts that no one is disputing. But beyond that, there is a lot of dispute. Even today, Fox News and others are reporting still that, quote, according to investigators, it is still too early to call this event terrorism, or that there is any direct connection between this event, this man, or ISIS, end quote. Now, what I'm going to do here is I'm going to play a short clip from an interview on Fox News with Congressman McCaul. He is from Texas, and he is also the chairman of the Committee on Homeland Security. Now, I'd like you to listen to his comments when this discussion about this incident is occurring or occurred there, and why. Because the issue is why. What's the motivation? Where'd it come from? Why is it taking place? And see if you can identify one or more. I identified about five straw man arguments that even here Congressman McCaul in this short interview put forward. And then I'm going to go back and talk to Gary on the other side about some of those. So if you could just play this short clip, please. This is an interview occurred last night with Congressman McCaul, chairman of the Committee on Homeland Security, about this matter of this Ohio State shooting.
Security Committee Chairman Michael McCaul joins us tonight to discuss the Donald Trump national security setup, but first to get reaction to the Ohio State situation and investigation. Mr. Chairman, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Brett.
What do we know about this guy and his potential ties?
We know he's born in Somalia, immigrated to Pakistan from Pakistan in 2014, came into the United States. We also know that there's secondary screening by Customs and Border Patrol coming out of Pakistan into the United States. I've requested a copy of that report to see what, if anything, we may have known about this individual before he came into the United States. But here again, we have another case of an individual coming from a high threat, hot terror spot area into the United States, radicalizing and then attempting to kill people.
I mean, the FBI is saying now he's likely self-radicalized. However, officials can't get to calling it terrorism. We've seen this before. Why?
We've seen this movie time and time again. They are very reluctant to call it what it is. It's radical Islamist terror. We know that he was inspired by Anwar al-Awlaki, the same cleric that inspired, you know, Nidal Hassan, the Fort Hood bomber, Rouhani, the New York bomber, Chattanooga, San Bernardino, all linked to Anwar al-Awlaki. In addition, we know that the Sheikh Adnani, the ISIS spokesman, who was killed by a drone strike, set forth in 2014 what the new terror agenda is going to be, and that is to attack the non-believer, the kufar, he calls it, in their backyard. So this is a new terror threat that's evolving, and that is to activate individuals in the United States by means of the internet to kill Americans. And what Adnani talks about is using vehicles and knives, the same method that this terrorist used in Ohio.
Okay. Gary, I don't know if you were writing down a few things there, but I'd like you to pick out a couple of the excuses. I'm kind of blame shifting that Congressman McCaul used, because he never went to the cause. You notice he never really answered how is this radicalization taking place. He didn't go there, but he gave some excuses. Why don't you pick out a couple and just make some comment?
Well, first of all, let me say I had read earlier today, Sam, that there is a movement around those who are very close to Donald Trump to keep McCaul out of any kind of a Trump administration. I don't know if you've seen that or not.
That's right.
But I think that there are some people within, you know, in the inner circle with Donald Trump who are very concerned about Congressman McCaul. But I do believe that in that particular clip that was presented there, he really skirted the issue. I mean, when he talks about the fact that the internet is the problem, that is being mm-hmm. used to radicalize young Muslims, and that individuals like certain al-Qaeda leaders or groups like ISIS are persuading young Muslims to get involved with terrorism and so forth and so on. Those are issues that are just skirting the real issue. And the real issue comes down to this, in my opinion, Sam, and I think this is something that every person who's listening to us needs to understand, every pastor in the pulpit needs to understand, and that is that Islam, by its very nature, hates the Christian, hates the infidel, is out to destroy Christianity, is out to destroy the unbeliever. And if you have an individual who is a true Muslim, then he is going to do everything that he can to rid society of those who are non-Muslims. And I think that, you know, what's happening with Congressman McCall and with others in government and even pastors who fail to recognize that is that they are playing into something that the devil wants us to play into in actually not recognizing the real issue of Islam. Hmm. And to me, Sam, that is extremely, extremely serious. You know, you talk about this idea of radical Islamic terror. Islam, by its very nature, Islam, by its very nature, terrorizes. It's high time that in the United States of America, Sam, we recognize that, and we recognize it clearly for our national security. And so to have a man like Congressman McCall as chairman on the Committee of Homeland Security actually brings concern to me greatly.
Well, Gary, I think you said that very well. And, you know, there were you hit some of the ones that I heard as well. There is this tendency to say, well, it's because of unique strategies, because he mentioned, you know, this recent strategy of trucks and knives. Gary, is that a strategy? I mean, so what? You pick up a club, you pick up a car. It doesn't go to the heart of why it's being done. Talking about the internet.
Right.
What's the internet have to do with radicalizing someone? What's at the heart of that? Well, somewhat they're talking about is they want to control the internet because they think it's going to control these terrorists. They mentioned all these things, Gary, and this is the problem. As you said, here's a chairman of the Homeland Security Committee. Now, he happens to have some connections to furthering some efforts of one called CVE. It's a countering violent extremism. It's a program coming out of the federal government. But it has really more to do with promoting this mentality that says you really can't identify the cause, Gary, which you said is at the heart of Islam. It's the Quran. It's the Sharia law. This individual did exactly what the mosques are teaching them to do. It's exactly what Sharia law is telling them to do. And yet this congressman, he knows this, but he will not go there. But you see what he did, Gary, which often happens. He shifted it on the Barack Obama administration by saying, well, yeah, you're right, because this administration won't even identify it as radical Islamic terror. Now, it's interesting. Terror. That's a technique. Again, not going to the root cause. And Gary, the reason I'm wanting to bring this up is because here it is, a leader in position making policy, making a pronouncement publicly in this fashion, does not take people to the heart of the issue. He makes excuses. He blame shifts, as you said, rather than saying, here is the cause. The cause is the Quran. The cause is Sharia law and people who submit themselves to that. And you have 3,000 mosques across this country who are preaching every week to their adherents that this is what it means to be a good Muslim. Now, Gary, this is really the issue I want to put down here, because in the next break, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to come back and we're going to hear an interview last night from an Islamic professor woman who was interviewed. And I want you to listen to what she says as a Muslim and how she shifts the blame to, you guessed it, you and me. Believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, you and I are the reason that that terrorist in Ohio did what he did at Ohio State University. You realize that? That's what people are believing. But the Muslim Brotherhood, the front face for the network of Islamic terrorists in the United States, are a part of this propaganda. But blame shifting and victimhood is where they go. That's what they believe. That's what they think. So I want you to stay with us. When we come back after these announcements, we're going to go into this next phase of showing how the actual Islamist themselves spokespeople are blame shifting and why they are excusing what's taking place. We'll pick up right after we come back.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of Providence, which establish the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. The Wall Street Journal reports the Indiana carrier plant Mr. Trump says he saved jobs was granted $7 million in tax breaks over 10 years by the state. The plant, the president-elect's first stop on his thank you tour.
Austin Goolsbee, a former chairman of President Obama's Council of Economic Advisors, is questioning the terms of the deal.
What happened here was not a negotiation. They paid them to stay there.
Later today, Mr. Trump will hold a thank you rally in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Fox Radio's Rachel Sutherland. Parts of the South reeling from more than a dozen twisters. Tennessee, already hard hit by wildfires, where seven people have been killed in Gatlinburg.
The concern that firefighters are telling me about, it's some of the hot spots that just continue to smolder.
Greg Coy with Fox affiliate WHBQ says those could flare up again. Fox News, we report, you decide.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. Let me take this opportunity to offer a word of thanks for those of you listening who financially support our work at Pennsylvania Family Institute. Without your help and partnership, we wouldn't be here to stand for the sanctity of life, promote marriage and family, and to fight for religious liberty from those growing attacks coming from our government and radical atheist groups. We wouldn't be able to provide services like our primary and general election voters' guides, or fight against sex trafficking, save churches from unjust taxation, or help keep child evangelism fellowships access to the schools. We wouldn't have been here to stop Planned Parenthood's efforts to force their version of sex education on our public schools, or help pass health and safety guidelines on abortion clinics that has closed at least five of them across Pennsylvania. Your support really does make a difference. Thank you. For more information about us at the Pennsylvania Family Institute, go to pafamily.org or call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
On this program, we are looking at the matter of blame shifting, deception, propaganda, lying, and we're using this focus of the event there at Ohio State University campus as an example of how it's being done in this regard to Islamic terrorism activity within our country. The last segment, we played a clip of an interview with Congressman McCall, chairman of the House Homeland Security Committee, and how he really obfuscated in that interview and did not go to the heart of why there are Islamic terrorists anywhere in the world, and including here in the United States. Now, with that being said, last night there was also an interview on Fox News, and this one, I'm going to play that clip there right now. That Carlson Tucker, you'll hear him. If you've listened to that, you'll catch him. But he interviewed a professor, Engi Abelikar, on the motivation behind the Ohio State University Islamic terrorist. Listen now to what she says, and see what you can identify as the straw man or the straw men this woman identifies as the reason for Islamic terrorist actions. Again, it's a little bit different than what Congressman McCall said, but it really is the same. If we could just play this clip, please.
Some, like our next guest, Engi Abdelkader from Georgetown University, argue rather this fear and alienation can lead to radicalization. Professor Abdul Kader joins us now. Professor, thanks a lot for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
So you wrote a piece about this earlier this year, long before this attack, but basically arguing that Islamophobia, dislike or fear of Muslims, is one of the drivers of terrorism. And you said this: what can we do about the tiny fraction of Muslims committing such unspeakable violence we saw in San Bernardino, Paris, and Brussels? You don't address problems within the religion or the Islamic community. You turn it instead back on America and the West by saying our intolerance causes this. Am I misreading your point?
I think it's complicated, right? So I think at the outset, we need to make clear that there's never a justification for a tragedy such as this one, right?
Right.
So irrespective of the fact that someone may have suffered from bigotry or discrimination on account of their religious identity, that doesn't justify taking matters into your own hand and perpetrating or inflicting violence on professors and students or innocent civilians more generally. By the same token, I think with respect to the article that you're referencing, I was actually relying on research that came out of Stanford University that showed that essentially anti-Muslim bigotry and discrimination, or what we commonly refer to as Islamophobia, can contribute to a sense of what they term as cultural homelessness. This idea, particularly for newcomers, for immigrants to this country, where they don't necessarily feel that they identify with their home country, where they originally came from, and they also feel alienated from their new host country.
Right.
So in this case, the United States of America.
But you can see why this looks a lot like victim blaming. So you've had an awful lot of Americans killed and injured by Islamic terror in the past 8 years. A lot, almost 100 killed, 350 or more injured. And you're basically saying that that happened because America is not hospitable enough to Muslims, and that seems unfair.
Absolutely not. First, I think we need to take a step back and understand that there's actually a greater threat of terrorism from white supremacist groups and right-wing extremists than there are from individuals who self-identify as Muslim.
Well, that's just not true. No, it's not. There haven't been 100 Americans killed in the last 8 years, 350 wounded from right-wing extremists in the United States. That's not true. And so, if you claim it is, I'd ask you to cite your source.
The FBI. So according to the FBI data indicates that there have been more acts of terrorism committed by right-wing extremists and white supremacists. In addition to that, last year, Duke University...
In the last 8 years, there have been 100 or more than 100 people killed by white supremacists and more than 350 wounded by white supremacists in America. That's not true.
So I'm referring to the number of acts of domestic terrorism, as opposed to victims.
You're making a point that is unsupportable. I'm talking about actual acts of terrorism. People die, people get wounded. I mean, we can define terrorism many different ways. I'm just saying you've had an awful lot of people killed by Islamic extremists. And what I hear you saying is we're not going to take a moment to reflect upon why this is happening within our community, but instead we're going to look at the larger community and blame them. That's
Absolutely.
What I see happening.
Sam, I love Tucker Carlson. You've just got to love that guy. I mean, he is just so calm, cool, and collected, and comes back with facts.
Well, see, and she cited facts. She said the FBI, Stanford University, another report. Essentially, she used those words. It essentially shows this, or FBI data shows, but she could never support it, as Tucker said. She couldn't produce that data because it does not exist.
Right.
So, Gary, when you look at that, pick up a couple of things that she was using as the scapegoat, as the blame shifting for the cause of terrorism.
Well, I don't know where to begin. There's so much of it. Let's take this idea of Islamophobia, you know, as being defined as unjustified fear of Islam. Once again, as we brought out in the last segment, when you understand what Islam is from the position of the Quran and Sharia law, there is every reason to be justified in having a fear or a concern about Islam. I mean, you know, we have guests on this particular program on a regular basis. Folks who have come out of Islam, folks who have dedicated their life to studying Islam, they continue to tell us, and we know that it is true, that according to the Quran and Sharia law, there is a justified fear of a Muslim who is living out his pure doctrine of Islam. And then, of course, she brings out this idea of cultural homelessness.
Wasn't that a great one, Gary?
Crazy.
Cultural homelessness. Boy, that sounds like a great term until you think about what in the world is that?
you know, she emphasized that, you know, that there are some Muslims who do not know what country they belong to or from whence they've come. You know, that's absolutely ridiculous. You know, she ate too many onions last night before she went to bed and made that statement.
Well,
I mean,
Gary,
she's not even thinking radically. There's no truth to that. And then when she goes on
I'm going to clarify. She is thinking radically. You said that word. You didn't mean that word,
but you said
the right word.
I understand that correction, and I appreciate that. You're right. But then, you know, she is. I like that. And then, but she's going on and says that there's a greater threat from right-wing extremism. I'll tell you what people are doing when they make statements like that. They are trying to get the uninformed public to believe a lie. Because as Tucker Carlson brought out, you cannot prove that there is a greater threat from right-wing extremism. And she is, you know, that would mean you, Sam, that would be those of us here standing in the gap. That would mean fundamentalist Christians. This is an attack upon us.
Gary, in the broader sense, it's the deplorables.
Oh, yes, the deplorables. You got that right. It includes that.
It's the patriotic Americans. It's those who hold to belief in the Constitution. Because you see that right wing stuff. These right wing way out folks. Who uses that? It's the Marxists. Mm-hmm. It's the left. Mm-hmm. It's those who are progressives of that flavor. It is the Islamist, and that's why Gary, the same people who use that word all stand together. So when we were talking through this election period, that really who you have that were standing on one side of the equation, it was the globalists. Mm-hmm. It's the Marxist. It's the establishment folks, and it's the Islamist. They're the ones who use those terms, Gary, because it describes every one of us who are probably listening to this radio station, except for some who are listening in just to be aware of what we're saying. But that's what they're saying. And this lingo is code word for a certain ideology.
And I want to, I just want to sort of cut to the chase. And by the way, I used that word radical. I meant the rational, but I'm thankful for the correction. But you know what? I want to cut to the chase here a little bit. I really do. And I want to say this to every pastor, every citizen who is under the sound of our voice. But I say pastors because sometimes pastors sort of fall back away from this too. You need to understand what Islam is all about, ladies and gentlemen. Don't just take the word of what Sam or I or anybody else on Stand in the Gap says. Read it for yourself. Again, go to the Quran. Read the Quran. Read up on Sharia law. There is a lot of good information out there. Information that is just pure, unadulterated information. Read it and take it literally. Because if you go out and buy yourself a cheap Quran and read it, you will find that there is a very, very great reason why we need to be concerned about Islam, why we need to reveal and teach what Islam is all about, and why we need to stand with it and warn people about it at every turn. Folks, you study it on your own. And don't just take it because we say it, and don't just listen to what liberal reporters or politicians say. Please study it on your own.
Gary, that's great. And I start this out by saying that on the program, we try to bring a biblical worldview to the analysis of the news. And what we're talking about here is a worldview. The Islamist worldview is totally contrary to a biblical worldview. That's why the two do not and they cannot coexist within the same setting of law. Ladies and gentlemen, don't be confused by the rhetoric that says, well, we're just another equal religion. Islam is not a religion. It's a way of life. It is a legal system called Sharia. And that Sharia law says that they cannot, those who hold to that, cannot coexist within any other structure. That's why there is the issue that there is. And it's got to be recognized by our politicians and by those in the pulpit. Now, when we come back after this break, we're going to close this program by talking about this blame-shifting concept that we see happening here, but where it started and it goes way back in history. But if something we're not careful, we can also do ourselves and be involved in. Gary's going to give us a little bit of a biblical analysis of this history of blame shifting and what we need to do about it.
Live, love, learn, and leave a legacy. These are great words. But if you want to leave a legacy to your children and grandchildren these days, it's going to take some careful planning. And that's where we come in. We're the Life Financial Group, advisors you can trust. We're Christian, families based upon the Bible, so that we can say we truly understand your values. In fact, for nearly 40 years, folks of all ages have counted on us to care for and grow their financial resources. Through prayer, prudent investment, and pleasant, knowledgeable people, we can help you navigate your investments so you feel secure. We're glad to offer morally clean investment options that won't sear your conscience or make you anxious. We're also comfortable talking about increasing the impact of your charitable giving. How do we make a difference? So learn how you can have peace of mind by calling us today at 610-385-4500. That's 610-385-4500. Or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genius Wealth Management, member FINRA and SIPC.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
I'm Jan Mark Hill, helping you understand the times.
Prophecy can help us probe into the future. Peter tells us that this is the role that Bible prophecy should play during these days as we await for the Lord.
Someone has said the greatest commodity we have is our time. Americans spend a great deal of time being entertained, so much so that it has become an American value. In the days of Noah, the people spent so much time on themselves that they were unaware when the rain began to fall. Jesus said that it would be that way again in the last days. People's number one problem is that they are unaware of God and His plan for this world. Being unaware will not be an excuse when the world falls back into the hands of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I hope you are ready. For more information, listen to our weekend program on this station or anytime at olivetreeviews.org.
Here's Minute with the Master, brought to you by Bella Victor.
Today's question is, what difference has Christ coming done to the world? 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, God through Christ reconciled us to Himself. Sin separated us from God. This happened in the Garden of Eden. But God reconciled us to Himself by sending His Son Jesus to earth in human form to take the punishment for our sins. This way, peace was established between God and man. Luke 2:14 says, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. This is also well said in the song, Hark, the herald angels sing, Glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Christ's coming has enabled us to have a relationship with God. Our part is to receive the gift God is offering. Believe Christ has paid for our sins and accept His offer to become His children.
For small group Bible study, contact Bella at bellavictorministries.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
I want to remind all of you who are listening that you can pick up this program and other of our three programs on our website at standinthegapradio.com. All the archives, all the programs are archived there. And I encourage you to go take advantage of those things that are there and direct your friends as well, as many of these programs are actually worth perhaps just, picking up a link and dropping it in a note to one of your friends and ask them to take a listen to it. That's how people find out about the program. And we're glad that we hear from people, and we encourage you, if you're listening to the program and you enjoy what you hear on Stand in the Gap today, that you let us know. And I also just want to remind all of you as well that this is we are a ministry. We survive by the gifts of interested listeners and God's people, and we encourage you to come alongside and support us. Be a part of helping to spread the truth and stand in the gap. You know, you may not be able to be on the radio like Gary and Dave and I are on this regard, but you can stand for truth where you are, and you can help us. And that may be the best and easiest way for you to help us. Help us financially, help us in prayer. You can go to our website and do that. And if anybody who gives a gift now to this program, we'll send you a special CD of instruction on God's roadmap for renewal in this country. We'll be glad to send that to you free for a gift of any amount. So you send that to us. Go to our website, standinthegapradio.com, and you can do that there. So please do that. We do want to hear from you. We need your help. Gary, as we wrap up this program here today, we're talking in the broader sense about blame shifting. We've given the examples here of how the press, the media, in this case, Islamic mouthpieces themselves, but as well as elected officials who are sympathizers, refuse to tell the truth, but instead deceive people relative to the actual cause of Islamic terrorism, when in fact we know, according to Sharia law and the Quran, that what this knife-wielding insurgent at Ohio State did was in fact proof that he was a good Muslim. Not that he was an outlier, but he was a good Muslim, because the Muslims who do that, according to the Quran, they're the only ones who are going to guarantee they're going to get into heaven. Now, that's what they think, Gary. And so this is a fact of life. They're not outliers. They're good according to their religion. But deception is so great that many people do not know. But, Gary, this whole issue of blame shifting has a long history. Does it not kind of bring it together biblically and put together some principles here for our listeners right now? Because, you know, we look at that and say, well, man, I wouldn't do what that congressman did, or I sure wouldn't blame shift like that Islamic spokesman did. But really, in our own life, we can do a lot of blame shifting, Gary. And before God, we can be guilty too, can't we?
Well, we can. Let me make two statements and then support it from Scripture. Number one, blame shifting is a basic component of the fallen nature of mankind. I want you to keep that in mind, folks, and Sam. Sam, you know that, but I'm just saying
on
the benefit of our listeners, that blame shifting is a basic component of the fallen nature. The second statement I want to make is that sin begins with pride, and, you know, that's putting me, P-R-I-D-E, that is putting my way in the center of everything. And, of course, basic sin goes back to the concept of pride. But pride leads on to this blame shifting, as nobody wants to admit that they're wrong. And so pride, yes, may be the cause of sin, but blame shifting is a basic component of the fallen nature. Now, we go back into the Word of God to Genesis chapter 3. We know that in Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve were placed in the Garden of Eden, God told them that they could partake of any fruit in the tree in the garden except the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if they should eat of that, they would surely die. Well, Satan himself came on the scene in the form of the serpent and brought some deception in there, in the sense that he actually questioned God and questioned God's authority and got Eve to question God's authority. Well, we know the rest of the story, that Eve partook and Adam partook as well. And so when God appeared on the scene to bring them to the point of accountability, what do we find that happened? Adam blamed Eve and basically said to God, "The woman you gave me, the woman you gave me, God, led me to do this." Well, then God went to Eve, and Eve blamed the serpent for leading her into it. And then, of course, you know, the poor old serpent, I guess he didn't have anybody to blame, to shift blame to. And so as we read on down through Genesis chapter 3, we find that then God actually gave the curse upon Eve first, Adam, and then the serpent, so as to accept personal responsibility. And so, you know, blame shifting goes back to the very beginning of mankind, simply because of the fact that people do not want to accept the idea that they are wrong. You know, for instance, if a person becomes angry over a situation, many times they'll say, well, you know, I'm not angry over that situation, but for instance, they'll say, let's say, Sam, you did something that made me angry, and that can't be done probably, but let's say you did. So rather than saying, you know, this made me angry, I'll say, Sam, you made me angry. Well, listen, anger is a choice. Mm-hmm. And so even me saying, Sam, you made me angry, actually puts the blame on you and takes it away from me. It is a basic component of the fallen nature, and we need to recognize that from the biblical perspective. And so when you look at the media, when you look at people in political office, certainly those who do not know the Lord will be apt to shift the blame. But as born-again believers, we need to be careful about it as well.
Gary, I appreciate that. You know, and as we look at that, blame shifting, when it occurs, means of necessity that there's not an accountability, there's not an admission. If you blame shift forever, Gary, there is no such thing as repentance. Mm-hmm. A person really cannot come to faith in Jesus Christ if he continues to blame shift.
Well, that's absolutely true. And because, you know, coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, you have got to come to the point of recognizing where you are in your relationship with Christ, and that is lost, a sinful individual, as we are all born of that sin nature. As somebody once said a number of years ago, when we're leading somebody to Christ, we need to get them lost before we get them saved. And what does that mean? We need for people to recognize that they are lost, accept that personal responsibility of it, so that they can repent and turn to God and trust Christ as Savior.
And Gary, and that, as we no doubt most of our listeners across the country and all of our over 400 some stations right now are listening, the majority probably are believers. We're not sure, but at least have an interest in who God is. But it's easy, Gary, for a person who does know Jesus Christ as Savior, mm-hmm. if he's not careful, to do this blame shifting thing as well, not take responsibility for actions. And really, that's really what 2 Chronicles 7:14 is all about, that God's people humble themselves, pray, and turn from their wicked ways, admit that they are wrong and they have sinned, because that's what God hears. So before the election a few weeks back, we were emphasizing that verse, God's people. It now applies in an even greater way. Ladies and gentlemen, we try to take this example today, real life example, blame shifting. It does apply to those who do not know the Lord. It does. But it also applies to those of us who do. Let's take accountability before the Lord, recognize that God's standards are the standards. If we embrace His standards and put ourselves in relationship to that, we won't blame shift. We will change our lives. And that's what the Lord expects. That's what He will hear. Hope you enjoyed being with us today, and we encourage you to join us tomorrow now, 23 hours from now. And until then, stand in the gap for truth where you are.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then
I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
Broadcasting live from historic West Norriton Township, this is AM 1180.